Good morning. It will be hot today. Just like
hot.
The remaining 2 hours of this show will be hot, hot, hot. As we see football camps opening throughout the NFL. 106 degrees today in Sacramento. It's getting me choked up. Also, join KHDK for the Sacramento Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival, August 19th, California Museum. Step back in time and enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era. I did research on this yesterday, Nate, after our conversation. Yeah. I was told around 80% of people showing up generally will be in costume, but it's not required. It's okay. Encouraged.
Costume?
Yeah, like...
Does that mean like corsets and stuff
for
women?
We were looking it up, like the women, the whole flapper era and
all
that.
Oh, flapper era, yeah. There's no corsets there. They were completely anti-corset.
Yeah, see, I'm glad that there Katie's here because we had no idea what the hell a flapper was, but...
You didn't know what a flapper was?
Well, now we do.
It's like where they had the like little bobbed haircuts and they got rid of the long hair.
So you got to
dress
like
and
that.
They wore
Thanks for joining us yesterday, Katie.
Yeah, they wear the loose dresses.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So that's what Katie will be wearing that.
Short, loose dresses,
Nate
by the way.
Nate will be in seersucker suits.
Right.
Is it seersucker?
Seersucker.
You're looking like the Kentucky Derby.
Sampling the finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region. I'm sure my wife will be there. In addition, enjoy live entertainment and delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Purchase your tickets at khtkslamdunk.com. So. Got some breaking arena news, and man, do I love this. When David Stern retired in 2014, he was credited with taking the league from a time when its image was so bad that finals games were aired on tape delay to a global success, in which games now are shown in more than 200 countries. Stern's impact on the pro game and his assistance in keeping the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento are behind today's announcement by the team to create a new address. 500 David J. Stern Walk.
Okay.
Just outside the Golden One Center, set to open in just a few months. Now, what it doesn't make clear here, I don't believe that's the address itself of the arena. I'll get some clarity on that. There's going to be some people who are like, oh, David Stern, what are you doing there? Me being me, just being dumb purple me. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm the guy that wants statues of David Stern and everyone outside of the arena. I love all that. I love the harkening back to the old history. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of that. And
David Stern's the best sports commissioner, not named Pete Rozelle.
I tend
and
to
he
agree
might
with
be
you.
Right there.
I tend to agree with you. He said, quote, I opened the first Arco Arena and the second one, so I have a warm spot in my heart for Sacramento. I think it's a wonderful gesture. I'm deeply touched. I'm just not sure I'll be able to get in the same tuxedo, which I believe that in itself might be a hint.
That he will be there.
We're going to see David Stern opening night for sure.
That's what it sounds like.
Good to see you, Dave.
You know what?
Yeah.
He's in retirement.
Yeah.
What else he got to do?
Absolutely.
What else you got to do, David?
You remember like how Pete D'Alessandro used to just drive us crazy with his lawyer talk and like it sounded all condescending? Like, all of that is what I loved about David Stern.
It's exactly the opposite,
like,
isn't
he
it?
He did it the right way somehow. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I could. And I know he took a lot of crap for that because David Stern was kind of condescending at times. But listening to his interviews were some of my favorite radio, whether it was with Dan Patrick or Jim Rome or, like, any of those guys. And, in fact, the best moment of all time, I can't even remember what Jim Rome asked him, but it was just a totally loaded question. I think it had something to do with the Chris Paul trade, didn't it?
It was that, and I think
about
the same,
blocking him to the Lakers.
Yeah, it was something.
In the same conversation, he was asking about. He was bringing up the frozen envelope in the NBA
that's
draft.
That's what it was. It was the draft. He asked him if the draft.
Greatest line
Jim
ever.
Rome asked him. Says, hey, "Come on, Commissioner, is the draft rigged?" And David Stern says, "Well, I don't know, Jim. Do you still beat your wife?"
Yes.
Oh my God!
What was great about that though is he.
Do we have that sound? Can you pull that
it's,
up?
It's got
like,
to be somewhere. Matt, would you try to look that?
That'd be awesome. I've got to hear that.
Beat your wife, and what was so genius about it, Nate? That's a hell of a poll. There was nothing about Jim Rome beating his wife. What David Stern's point was is you're giving me an answer. You're giving me a stupid question that no matter how I answer, I'm like, for example,
you're looking for a soundbite.
Do you still beat your wife? No. Oh, so you used to beat your wife. Do you still beat your wife? Yes. Oh, so you're a wife beater. It's a
yes or no question without right, yeah. a right answer.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Stern's point to one of the...
That's straight up lawyer talk right there.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
It's a trap.
And David Stern is this tiny little troll-like figure that would roll around amongst these giants. And any room he would walk into, and you've heard Mickey
Smartest
Harrison,
guy in the room every time.
Every owner, these big, bad owners. David Stern walks in, a little hush goes over. It's almost like the owners were the kids and the teacher just got home. And his ability to walk in, and the guy's sense of humor. I never knew this, but I got to hear stories from the whole the fight for the team and all that, because now all of a sudden I started to know people firsthand that dealt with him firsthand. Yeah. And I started to hear stories about David Stern's, not only his wit and his insane sense of humor, but the way he would speak. And I remember very specifically, and this is totally me telling tales out of school, so I won't use any names, but there was somebody I trust very much said he had a conversation with Stern. And Stern at one point was calling in one of the promises made or one of the commitments or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I won't get into crazy detail here, but apparently the way the conversation went, and I can't do a Stern impersonation, but his voice kind of lowered and he goes, if you do not follow through on this, I'm just quite simply going to come out there and I'm going to take a certain part of your body. And I'm just going to wrap it around your neck. And I'm going to put you in a corner to think about what you've done. And he's obviously, it's not like a mafia thing where he's serious. He's joking.
Yes.
But is he joking? Like, he may not
it's
do
nice
that.
A nice neck you have there.
Yeah. Adam Silver at the time was his enforcer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Adam Silver now, by the way, in a couple of short years, has vaulted up to the best commissioner in sports right now. Mm-hmm. He had a good understudy. Here's David Stern and Jim Rome, the sound we were talking about.
That is uncomfortable.
Yes.
That is uncomfortable.
You know who it wasn't uncomfortable for? David J. Stern.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was sitting there rubbing his hands together going, hey, Jim, you stop being your... And you hear Rome's pause. He's like, I don't think that's fair.
I know. That's the only person I've ever heard put Rome in his place.
There are different ways of debating.
I could not believe when I heard that.
I'm a huge fan of Jim Rome, by the way.
One phenomenal trick when debating or arguing with somebody that some people use is you say something to them so unbelievably outlandish. In baseball, a pitcher will get into a rhythm, and the batter will attempt to throw that pitcher off by stepping out of the batter's box, scratching his ass, doing whatever he can to throw the pitcher off rhythm.
And adjusting his...
Yes. In debates, there are people that will use a tactic where you bring something, you interject something into the debate in order to throw someone off their game and elicit an emotional response that takes them completely out of their head. And once emotion creeps in, they're completely done and gone, and you have an advantage. David Stern was a master. That was a phenomenal example of that.
Same thing as, like, I don't know, maybe calling someone fat and ugly, like, during, like, some, you know what I mean? Like a personal
you
attack.
Throw something out there to throw them off. And then you build on it. It's a phenomenal and very, very dirty way. David Stern is a debate ninja.
He's a debate ninja.
Straight up, period, superhero, and he's a badass, and I love him. David J. Stern Walk, to be exact. David J., it's 500.
Can you
David
run
J.
on
Stern
it?
Walk. No, it's not David Stern Run.
Come on.
Stupid. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that signing I wanted to get to in the NBA and how that may or may not. Well, it doesn't really tie to the Kings, but I think it produces a question right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. It is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. The music played a little bit because, and I'll take the heat for this one. I was on the phone confirming things. Man, am I happy about this.
David Stern.
Yeah, how'd the phone call go?
The phone call went phenomenal because I can say...
with certainty.
That... the address of your arena is going to be 500 David J. Stern Walk.
Right. That
is
that's cool.
David is J because it's on J, right?
Stern
David.
Walk. I don't know if
maybe
that's part of it.
Why.
That'd
I mean,
be actually kind of funny.
That's nice.
That to me is I freaking love that. So you mail a letter to 500 David J. Stern Walk. Guess what? It's going to Golden One.
Nice.
That is the official name of your the official address, or will be. Let me clarify. They've got to, you know, you have to apply for that stuff and file and all that. But that I can't imagine that, you know, the city's going to be like, no, that's not going to happen. It needs to be 500 Katie Christensen Walk.
So, not happening.
Although, fine idea.
No, it's not.
That's awesome.
66 days.
Is that it?
66 days. When do we start the official countdown?
It sounds like
today.
You just did.
Just now.
But it's kind of an odd number to start on.
66
Technically, it's
days.
An even number. I know. I'm just waiting for someone to point that out.
500 David J. Stern Walk. Now, I did not confirm this, but now I would put a lot of money on this. You got to imagine, when you get a street named after you, and every single arena that's ever opened for an NBA team in a city, you've opened, I'm pretty sure we're going to see David Stern in Sacramento for opening night.
I mean, he kind of alluded to it.
He did.
In the way that David Stern can do. You know what I saw over the weekend? I saw a picture, because I follow the Golden One Center on Instagram and face whatever, all those different...
Where does it go?
Yeah, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
They're great. They post all their memes and stuff and funny jokes.
No, I mean, I like seeing the progress, because they post a lot of pictures of the progress. I saw a picture of a couple that took their wedding photos outside of the Golden One Center. Yep. Yep.
Ooh, do you know if they got married there?
It didn't say, but the fact that there's obviously a lot of churches and stuff downtown. So
it says romance like a construction site.
Yeah,
but they actually
you're building the life.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Dave, look
Thank
at
you.
You. You're such
no,
a romantic.
I am a romantic.
No. Yeah. No, but it was actually at a side where it was, you really couldn't tell that there was construction going on. It looked fairly, you know, clean and cleaned up outside. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Hey, it's freaking awesome.
You know what? We've talked a little bit about the fact that you and Mel have never had like a real wedding.
That.
I could see Dave and Mel renewing their vows outside the Golden One Center. And the invitation for it would be 500 David J. Stern Way.
Absolutely. Walk. It would be.
Is it Walk?
It's That's, Walk.
Walk,
gotta
Katie.
Get it right. 500 David J. Stern Walk is the address of your new arena.
David Stern's a Pantera fan, right? Is that it?
Yay! His walk. I
right.
got you.
I wonder if you could get him to officiate your ceremony.
Oh my God. Don't you gotta relax.
There used to
you
be
got
really,
excited about that though. The look on your face.
Listen, I'm that dumb.
You
I would
had
totally,
him thinking.
I would
yeah,
totally,
I know.
I would absolutely do that. Mel and I had a shotgun wedding, if you call it, on a dock in Lake Tahoe with two people there. I would that's something Kingsy people, I know you guys at least some of you listen. Hey, if you're not already doing this, they ought to do that. They ought to have, like, that should be an event.
That
the
should
first,
be.
The first mass wedding at the Golden One Center.
Yeah.
And people can go in, and you have somebody cool officiate it. And
Nate,
I guarantee
you're getting
you,
married soon, right? You have a location
Nate.
Picked?
There is no Atta chance
babe.
I'm doing something that tacky. Zero.
Hey, don't knock it.
0%.
Just because you don't want to do it doesn't mean that people that
Zero.
May want to do
you.
It.
Bagel.
Thank you.
A mass
I'm
wedding.
In. You do a mass wedding at
I
Golden One.
I would rather
One.
Attend a mass funeral.
A mass
oh,
funeral.
That's
well,
just...
Some people call weddings the same. That's fine. Your childhood dies.
Mm-hmm.
If you
Your
got
childhood.
Hey, if they do that, I absolutely we will renew our vows down and go dress in purple and Gross. Do the whole
you would
freaking
wear
thing.
The Dumb and Dumber like
absolutely.
Purple tux though. It wouldn't
I'll,
be a baby blue.
I'll
it'd be a purple.
I'll Mr. Sign Lady be my best man just so I can get a cool sign. Get a cool wedding sign out
oh,
there. Sign
man.
Lady in the front row.
Now, are you just trying to start bringing up things that where I can't say gross or
yes.
I'll really just look
I'm
like
just
a jerk?
I'm just waiting for you to hop out yeah. of your chair.
I'll have my children there.
I'll have Slamps and be the ring bearer.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We could do the whole thing. Are you kidding me?
The
Alan.
Ring, the ring bearer.
Alan. Hi, Alan.
Morning. How are you? Hey, first off, I need to say, Katie, I was supposed to call you last week, but I'm still waiting on the other shoe to drop on the Kings making a move. So I am the jury's still out on how we're going to do. That was the first. The other thing is, I wanted to know, is it unconfirmed that the outside smoking area will be called Carmichael Dave Alley?
Oh! Alan. Ooh.
Hey, that'd be awesome.
You actually are pretty excited that about that.
I don't know. I don't
the
know.
Bronze statue of Dave with a cigarette. and a megaphone
and a ladder in a Kings hockey jersey with like a cigarette in one hand and popcorn in the other.
I mean, dude, you're pretty self-deprecating about your looks, but imagine you being bronzed.
Oh my God. I promise you, the bronze version of me would look, unless they did it on purpose, would look better than the real life version of me. Unless they really did it like a caricature where I had like a giant bronze
they just
nose,
make it a big cartoon.
Oh, man.
A long bronze oval shaped head, a long receding bronze hairline. I got a Marlboro hanging, and they got to write in Marlboro on the filter hanging out of my mouth. I'm half on a ladder.
That's
the
detail, though. It actually says Marlboro on the cigarette.
Got an oxygen tank next to me. And, like, Walt Disney is at the front of Disneyland, like, welcoming people into Disney. I'm there puffing on a stogie and pointing towards the smoking section. Here's all I know.
I like this.
I don't know what, where, who, how, and why, and if they're even going to have a smoking section at the Golden One. My only request is this. Can we please make it unlawful to be out there if you're under 18 and or 21, if you want to go with that, which unlike how it was before, where
you
kids
don't like
could go
kids
out,
being
I
able to be there. You don't like
kids
in front of
kids. Day,
yeah, I
open
don't
air.
Care. I don't care.
But Times Square in New York City, you can't smoke there.
You might.
What,
as
do we want to live in New York City now? There's a reason I live in California, Katie.
Oh. Good Lord.
Sacramento.
Nate, you are just on, all
some
kinds of Nate-y today.
You're back now. Nate was in like a great mood because he was feeling, you know, he had to fill the roles and all that and blah, blah, blah.
Fill the role.
Now you're back. And he's like, Dean Stern walking.
Hey, listen, you go put out one of your fancy Twitter polls and see how many people want to live in a place that has the same laws as New York City. How many people here in Sacramento?
I think
wow, because you like, there. What, smoking and soda pops?
I think the answer is I don't think most people know
both of those things.
I don't think they know what the laws are in New York City is, I think, the problem.
Yeah,
I don't
true.
Think they're well-versed on
not
that.
Not allowed to smoke anywhere.
Here's a random story
same
for you.
San Luis Obispo.
Darren McKee, D-Mac from Denver, is going to join us at the top of the hour as we do our AFC West week with camps opening up, and we focus on the Broncos. I have a story about Starbucks, and you'll understand why I'm telling you about Starbucks here in a second. Now, a little bit of history as we talk about David Stern, who is one of the most hated people in the city of Seattle. Aww. Many Sonics fans blame him in part for the Sonics leaving. But nobody is more hated, I think, in Seattle than Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz, the head of Starbucks and owned the Sonics at the time after promising to keep them in Seattle and local and they're part of the institution and blah, 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 and ends up selling them to Clay Bennett. I'm giving you this timeline for a reason. So fast forward then to a few years ago where Ballmer and Hansen up in Seattle were trying to get the Kings up there. And obviously, I don't know if he's hated, but Kevin Johnson, our mayor, probably not a huge popular guy up there.
Not
because
really a
of
lot
all,
of places.
All he did, yeah, well, that's true. But for all he did to keep the team here. So it was announced yesterday that Starbucks will have a series of organizational shifts starting yesterday that will see CEO Howard Schultz focusing on long-term projects and another gentleman running the coffee giant's core business and leadership team. That gentleman is Kevin Johnson. It's
hold
not the
on.
Same Kevin Johnson.
Oh, man.
President and Chief Operating Officer Kevin Johnson will run the Coffee Giant's core business and leadership team. But that's just kind of funny. Starbucks is now run by Kevin Johnson. And so in the last 24 hours, Seattle people.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Seattle people have heard the following news.
He's obviously the second like least unemployable Kevin Johnson, right?
They've now heard that David J. Stern Walk is the address of Golden One Center. And now they've heard that Kevin Johnson is going to run Starbucks. It's not a good 24
your face,
hours.
Seattle.
It's not a good 24 hours. And before we go to break, let's read from the text line. From the 209, I was waiting for this text. We're getting excited for a Stern visit. Let's start worrying about Cousins hustling back on D with Team USA and not doing that on the Kings. Me. Sincerely, Nate Goodyear. We'll take a break.
I was going to say, I usually save mine for Grant's show.
We'll come back and we'll tell you about a free agent signing last week and what questions that leaves for the Kings.
Nor
of the
will we.
Is that right? Sports 1140 KHDK. News out of the NBA. That came yesterday afternoon. The Miami Heat have a new member. Dion Waiters.
A new sideshow in Miami.
Deion Waiters has signed a two-year contract.
What is it not?
Two-year contract worth $6 million. A player option in the second year of the deal. First reported by The Vertical. Simple math, I could be wrong, but tells me that that would play out to be $3 million a year. Deion Waiters, who at one point was being talked about as a $16 to $18 million a year signing.
Yes.
By Deion Waiters only, apparently.
Dear God, you want to talk about musical chairs ending and you're the standing guy. Wow.
You know what, though? It's even worse than that because it was, you know, they gave him the chance. Like, they gave him the option, hey, do you want the music to keep playing? And he said, no, I realize that there's no chairs, but I'm good. I'll be fine. I'll sit on the floor.
My
like this.
Lord.
This is why, you remember a couple of years ago, Ian Desmond did this in baseball. Only, you know, he turned down a midseason contract extension and ended up having a terrible year. And now is kind of reclaiming it. Deion Waiters could not have botched this worse than he possibly did. The Thunder offered him, what, a $6.8 million qualifying offer.
Right.
$6.8 million. And he said, eh, no thanks.
I mean, this is, say what you want about Deion Waiters. I have a hard time believing he's $15 million less of a player than Timofey Mozgov. When you look at the money being
But we're not talking about the Lakers right now.
No, we're talking about Deion Waiters. $3 million. And I could kind of understand that type of deal if he was going,
I could probably sign in the NBA right now and make more than
$3 million. Seriously?
They're giving away money right now.
If he was going to the Warriors, maybe the Celtics, if he was going to the Cavs again, if he was one of those guys that was, if that was a deal to just try to win a title, yeah, okay, I guess I can see that. He's ring chasing. That's a ring chasing contract.
Well, Tyler Johnson, who they signed, it looked like he was going to go to Brooklyn because they made him an offer. They end up signing him to I think it was a 4-year deal, $50 million. I know it was $50 million. His quote after, you know, signing this $50 million deal that Miami offered him was, "I threw up twice." After, because of the number. Well, yeah. I can imagine that maybe the same is true for Deion Waiters.
Exactly. Deion Waiters accepted that contract, and he's going to Miami thinking, I'm going to be a $3 million Dwayne Wade.
Right.
But in reality, like, that sounds great to Deion Waiters. That's the Heat's worst nightmare, to get a $3 million Dwayne Wade. Cut rate Dwayne Wade. That's what you got.
The second year being a player option, that in and of itself tells you that he's going to be miserable to play with next year because he's trying to play himself into a better contract.
Yeah, listen,
because the year
Riley.
After, there's more money.
Right. This is your parents shopping at the discount Halloween store. That's what it is. Like, this is the... This
in
is,
December.
Right.
Not even November.
Exactly. The homemade Dwayne Wade costume. This is it.
Here's my question, though. And of course, you got to ask it.
Came out of good housekeeping. She made it with the sewing machine.
Deion Waiters is 24 years old.
Yes.
He's a shooting guard. Last year, averaging 10 points, a couple of boards, a couple of assists, did his thing. His sophomore year with Cleveland, 16 points, 3 boards, 3 assists. Shooting guard.
And he played really well in the playoffs for him, you know, against Dallas and San Antonio specifically.
Well, he had the awesome inbounds play. Where he elbowed, what's his face?
The stonesiest move in the history of the NBA playoffs.
But do you hear a number like that? Do you hear a contract like that? And you go, okay. There was nobody more vocal against Deion Waiters than me, I think, in the entire city when it looked like we might sign
him. Can I finish your sentence? Because I know where your brain is right now.
Of course you do.
Would you not take Deion Waiters on the Kings for $3 million a year?
Well, see, I was going to say $4 million because Miami, Sacramento, you got to pay him an extra $1 million to come here over Miami. I mean, I think that's a fact, and that's not necessarily a rip on the roster. It's just Miami versus Sacramento.
Yes.
You wouldn't.
I'll answer your question with a statement. When I heard,
do you beat your wife, Dave?
Right.
Did you stop beating your wife?
I mean, like, it's possible, but here's the thing. When I first saw that deal for $2.9 million, my thought wasn't, boy, what a steal for the Heat. It was, what the hell's wrong with Deion Waiters? And I don't want that guy anywhere near me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is a dude that had a $7 million offer on the table, didn't take it. No one else wanted to go anywhere near him. And here he is signing for less than half of that. That's a red flag to me.
Yeah, but here's my, I mean, here's.
It's because you, when you make decisions like that, you kind of back yourself into these corners.
Well, sure, but that gave me pause a little bit. So ultimately, the answer is no.
It's just that he's a tool.
It's
that he's a tool. I don't look at it as like, oh, there's something wrong with him.
Well,
it's like, oh, my God, the man is a tool.
Wrong.
Like, he just doesn't understand this. And who the heck is his agent?
Here's my counter, though. I believe when you look at a lot of Vlade's moves, his biggest influence, arguably, is Jeff Petrie. And he lived through the rebuilding and the greatest years this Kings team has ever had. And I think a lot of the moves that he's making in weird ways echo back to some of the moves that were made leading up to 2002. So I look at a guy like Dion Waiters, where if he signed for $14, $15, $16, $17 million, I'd have burned my foot off in protest. But $4 million, $4 million for Dion Waiters, I think Dion Waiters is grossly overpaid at $15 million, and I think Dion Waiters is grossly underpaid at $3 million. $4 million to bring a guy that could fill your two-guard spot at the very least, if not back it up. I believe, this is what I think, I agree with everything you said, Nate. I do. But when you're the Sacramento Kings, this is how that 2000 team, part of the reason why they got great. They got a guy who was in the middle of a sexual assault charge from Washington, D.C., in Chris Webber. They got a guy who fought with.
I did not know that.
Yeah, him and they had the whole. He got caught with weed in Puerto Rico. Weber was in the middle of a bunch of crap.
I did not know.
Right,
that.
By the way, he was not comparing Dion Waiters to Chris Webber.
Of course not. By the way, let me just say Weber was exonerated.
Yeah,
with that,
exactly.
But he was in the middle of the case. No, I'm not saying Dion Waiters could be the next coming of Chris Webber talent wise. What I'm saying is when you look at Weber, Doug Christie was a malcontent and fought with coaches. Okay, Vlade was a free agent signing, obviously. But then you get into John Barry, Vernon Maxwell, Jimmy Jackson. Vernon Maxwell especially. Vernon Maxwell was like Dion Waiters
nut
on
case.
Steroids when it comes to nut jobbiness.
But at that point, wasn't Vernon Maxwell at least like aware of the fact that he was a bench player?
Well, he kind of filled in the role.
Is that this little scenario with the way Dion Waiters handled his free agency to me is like everything about his career in a nutshell. Nobody values Dion Waiters even close to as highly as Dion Waiters values Dion Waiters.
Well, that's
isn't this
true.
The same conversation we had when Seth Curry signed with Dallas for, I think it was $3 million.
Yeah, very similar.
How about this? Let me ask you, if it was, you're saying $4 million a year,
yes.
Would you feel more comfortable making it a two-year deal? Because what hangs me up with this too is that, as Katie kind of alluded to, Dion Waiters, he's trying to make that next contract
sure.
worth it on a one-year deal.
Sure.
And it is a player option.
Yes.
But, I mean, listen, Dion Waiters knows the ball is round. Is that what you want?
Well, here's the thing. Unlike Rajon Rondo.
Well, we haven't had that at the two guard. There's
that's
one
true.
Thing.
And that was the argument we made for him
right.
earlier.
Rajon Rondo had two issues. Rajon Rondo had, is he healthy enough and is he still young enough to be able to put up numbers? And
I hate when we have that conversation about a 29-year-old.
Well, I'm just saying.
And he was 29 when he
signed. And then the other thing was him coming off of Dallas and being booted off that team, is that where is he at mentally and would he be a cancer in the locker room? And Rajon Rondo, love it or hate it, answered those questions at least enough to get a good contract out of Chicago. Dion Waiters, I don't think those questions surround necessarily his talent, his pure talent. It's his head. It's his IQ on the floor, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know that Dion Waiters is necessarily going to go into Miami. Maybe he is. And just be a total gunner on that team.
Oh.
I only say that.
You don't know that?
No. Here's the only reason I'm not entirely convinced. Because I do agree with Nate and I think anyone else that Dion Waiters is signing a two-year deal for a one-year deal so he can capitalize next year. And I think what? What?
Nothing.
Well, you can't do that in the middle of a thing and then expect, now we're stopping now. What were you talking about?
What was I pointing at? I was like, I think I said that.
Oh, no, I was, you did.
I think I said that, Dave.
Yeah, so, attribution here. Come on,
right.
Mr.
Sorry.
Melania over there.
So, right, my point is that I think if you're going to look for a year for him to be on his quote-unquote best behavior, it's going to be this year. And if he learns a lesson from this, which I can't guarantee he does, and goes, God, I got shafted on this whole thing. I got screwed out of maybe $10 million because I've acted like a moron and people think I'm a moron. Maybe you see a Dion Waiters on his best behavior.
Rajon Rondo used
Sacramento.
Yeah, to propel himself. But he signed a one-year deal, which obviously was a complete, like, this is my redemption tour.
Well,
I've got 1 year to redeem.
Deal.
But you're in the same breath saying that Dion Waiters, and love or hate Rajon Rondo,
uh-huh.
But you're saying in the same breath that Dion Waiters' mental acuity is anywhere near Rajon Rondo's.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that Dion Waiters.
I think he understands.
You can make an argument that Dion Waiters will be on his best behavior next year because this is essentially a 1-year deal, and he too is trying to propel himself.
I think he's the type of player that doesn't think about, oh, I need to be on my best behavior. He's going in saying, I need to have my best statistical scoring season of my NBA career
And what's Pat Riley going to do if that happens? And do you think Pat Riley didn't have a conversation with Dion Waiters before they signed and said, dude, I'm Pat Riley. Here's all my rings. Go ahead and do what you're going to do. Now, the argument could be
don't know if you can take the stripes off that zebra.
And I don't either. And the argument there is we don't have a Pat Riley in Sacramento. So if you brought Waiters here, would he infect the rest of the team? And do you need that? And blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is our 2-guard position stinks. Okay.
I'd take Ben McMoore over Dion Waiters anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't. I think here's what I know.
No, I don't know. Katie, that's not what you said like 3 weeks ago, was it? I don't remember.
I honestly don't remember.
I thought her and I were on the same side, and you were the whole, well, hey, hold on here. You know, like Dion Waiters and Ben McLemore are the same players. Like you threw out all the stats because I remember very specifically saying, yes, they might be the same, but Dion Waiters at least has an identity. He understands what he is as an NBA player.
The shooting.
And I thought you were on my side with that when it came down to Ben McLemore
as
and Dion Waiters.
As this has played out, I see that he's just a complete toolbox.
Well, he is a toolbox.
And I am not on, and this might shock a lot of people, and it's probably going to irritate you to all ends. I like Ben McLemore more than most people. I agree in the sense that, yes, he needs to shoot the ball. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Why don't you marry him?
Okay, wow.
I think I was giving you a hard time.
I expect that from Dave, but not from you.
Come on.
At least Ben has a work ethic. At least he's a team player. He's maybe a little bit too much of a team player. I think he's improved in a lot of ways. You're not going to have problems with him
other than the fact that you got to kick him in the ass every morning.
You want to say about Ben McLemore, he was put in a position to be in a starting role as a rookie that he never should have been in. I think that his progress in a way was stunted because from a mental standpoint and from, you know, kind of that emotional standpoint, I don't think he was ready to be that person. And so any little setback, I think, affected him way more than anyone understood because he learned to say the right things and do the right things in terms of making sure he's in there working hard. But I think that as he continued to struggle, it set him back further and further. And when he had some of his best performances was when he came off the bench because he didn't have that type of pressure. Maybe he just doesn't, you know, was too young early in his, you know, in his rookie contract to be able to handle that amount of pressure. He's not a starter in this league, especially out of college.
You know, one of my favorite things about this show, if you ask me top 5 things that I love about this show, easily in the top five would be the fact that our good friend Doug Christie listens.
Yeah, did he just,
to a lot of the
did
show?
Did he just hit us on the Twitter?
I don't know what he was referencing. I think I do because all I got is a tweet from him that said, damn, and then like a little red face emoji. If he's referencing what I think he is.
Called him a malcontent.
When I was running through players and talking about, well,
oh, yeah, talking about you, what you said about Doug.
Let me be very clear. When Doug Christie, when he was, I think it was in Los Angeles. I don't think it was in Toronto. But there were, and I'm using air quotes here, reports that he was unhappy with his role, that he was unhappy with the minutes he was getting and the positions they were putting him in and all that. My point was is that you could take about every single player on that team as they
built. And there was something attached to that.
And there was some quote-unquote, backstory on them. And what issue, bless you, Nate. They had this issue. This guy was this. Yeah. And one of the greatest things I think Kings fans, one of the things we love the most about a lot of that team is they weren't like bad boys like the Detroit Pistons bad boys.
No.
But this was a place at one point
they had
where
character.
And players would come here to revive, if not revive their career. This city and the way the team ran propelled a lot of these guys. Scott Pollard was this role player that was barely hanging on in the league.
He didn't even have a haircut till he got to Sacramento.
and then even guys they draft, Hedo Turkoglu, who the hell is this at a turkey?
From my conversations with Doug, I think Doug is very aware of the fact that he was maybe a little bit of a hothead as a player, and that's what made him special. So I think every player kind of with that mentality on the floor before you actually make it to the point where you find the team that you fit into, there's going to be those things attached to them. And his hot-headedness, if you want to call it that, right, was competitive nature.
Fire.
Yes.
And that's
what made him so great here in Sacramento.
Which is amazing because...
Take that, Rick Fox.
Well, you take a guy, and Doug's an excellent example, is whatever knocks there were on Doug's coming in, whether it's Doug, whether it's Vernon Maxwell, who, let's be honest, when you compare Doug Christie, there is no comparison between Christie and Vernon Maxwell, but Vernon Maxwell had a horrible reputation coming in here.
What was his reputation? I don't know.
Vernon just being a nut job, fighting with people. And
yeah, he's
angry,
short temper, right?
Right. John Barry, even. They'd come here, and all of a sudden,
John Barry's every bit as cheery as his old man.
And then they'd come here, and guess what? Some of these narratives were either incorrect or the narrative on the player changed with the team. And we often talk about
amazing when you start winning.
Well, that's the thing. We will often talk about, well, you know, the Kings drafted this guy and they could have had Klay Thompson or they could have had Kawhi Leonard. And that often begs the question, well, what if they drafted Kawhi Leonard? Would Kawhi Leonard have come here and been anything like he was with the Spurs? Once upon a time, kids that are under 14
the Kings
years
were
old,
the Spurs in that sense.
The Kings were very much like the Spurs, where you had guys coming in, and this was basketball Mecca. This is where people would revive their career, or they'd shake off these narratives. So what's going to be funny is when Doug tweets me, he's like, no, man, I was talking about that picture you took yesterday where you looked weird in the hat, and I'm doing all this for nothing. But Doug, that was my point, and I love you, is that even the silliest narratives in some cases – can be completely overblown and proven wrong. Now, Dion Waiters, I don't think that that's a silly narrative. I think there's a lot of fire in that smoke. I don't know, guys. I hearken back to those Kings days when they took chances on a lot of players and they hit more home runs than they didn't. And maybe my logic and faith is misplaced, but I look at the ability to maybe get a guy like Waiters for $4 million that can help shore up your two guard spot. And I feel like maybe that's a missed opportunity. And I fully admit I could be wrong. Fully admit I could be wrong.
I'm just happy that we'll never have to know. I mean, it'd be fun to have Dion Waiters as a scapegoat if things go bad this year. But
wouldn't it, though?
It does make you wonder how much luck is actually involved in all of this type of stuff. I mean, like, we could sit here. I kind of ragged on Vlade a little bit. We're talking about Nick Calathes. And, you know, some of the people that... just not really inspiring type of moves. Like, I really like the Aaron Aflalo move. I would have liked it more 3 years ago. You know, things like that.
Right.
We all feel like Vlade is doing the very best he can, right?
I completely feel that way.
Okay. Oh.
And so, like,
don't?
No, Nate. Okay. I absolutely feel like he's coming in here and being like,
as opposed to Sam Hinkie, who openly bombed for, like, 3 seasons.
Well, I think, to be fair, there's some people out there that have questioned Vlade, and not that he's not trying, and I know that's not what you meant.
Name a general manager in this league not named R.C. Buford at this point that there hasn't been recently been questions about what they're doing and the job they're doing.
Well, yeah, sure. So my point is simply that even if, like, let's say we go 4 years and the Kings can't get over the 40-win plateau, but, you know, he keeps making moves and not making big risk ones. Like, he's not doing a Phil Jackson going out and getting a washed-up Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah and trying to pin his hopes on $15 million has-beens. That's not happening, right? So in that sense, I feel like he's taking a good path, right? He's building like-minded personalities. He's going for a very specific identity. If the team fails with that, I don't know that it's necessarily fair to say, hey, man, Vlade sucks as a GM. It's just, dude, like, look at what he was given here. They have to go get Nick Calathes because, you know what? Yeah, Mike Conley signed a big...
Reportedly, perhaps.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. But you know what? Because Mike Conley's not taking their call, right?
Walking through that door.
So I guess maybe the question you're posing...
the resources that he has, and what is his ceiling with that necessarily? I mean, I don't think it would be fair to say even if the Kings fail, I don't know if it's fair to just call Vlade a bad GM.
Okay, but the question you're really posing here is not is Vlade a bad general manager, or how much do we pay attention to the fact that general managers, what they're able to do and kind of their performance when you go back and you analyze it. It can't just be based on, are they cut and dry, black and white, a bad general manager? It has a lot to do with situation and where you are, what team you're with, what resources you have.
Because good GMs have gotten fired in the past, and you know, and bad GMs have kept their jobs because of good fortune. That's just something that happens. I don't want to, but I feel like he's taking the right tact with this.
Yeah.
He's building a very specific identity. I don't know that it'll work. And if it doesn't, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying he's a failure. Did I make it all the way around to that?
I'm going to be honest. I kind of stepped back while you two went at it because I've really been waiting for Doug to tweet me back.
I got a tweet back. Yeah, he's afraid. So just like 40 seconds ago, I got a tweet from Doug that says, "Well said, Katie."
Well, I mean, that could cover. You too can participate live on Twitter.
No, but that's exactly your fear that he was pointing out what you said about him and the rumors of
Yeah, but Nate,
your point, I defended him.
I'm joking. Your point's well taken. I understand. There's nobody thinks that Vlade is walking into the office going, meh.
I mean, he's not openly taking it, but I could look at Phil Jackson and say, dude, the way he's doing it is wrong. Okay, I feel comfortable saying Phil Jackson's going about it the wrong way.
Oh, what, building a super team?
Yeah, exactly. He's hiring the wrong coaches. He's going getting guys past their prime that are worth too much money. Like, Vlade's not doing those things.
Well, that's the team
that I kind of brought up, you know, outside when we kind of hit on this just during the break. And when you look at...
If the Knicks fail, I'll say Phil Jackson sucks as a GM.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, when you look at kind of what he's walking into as well, the Knicks have ruined their organization. I mean, are they still paying like 10 coaches ago? I mean, they have brought in so many 12. People. It's just they have done a really, really bad job in terms of managing that franchise, from overpaying people to coaches to just bad decisions all the way around. And you look at New York and you're like, that is a market and a team that has a great history. And who wouldn't want to play in New York? It's the basketball freaking mecca of the NBA. I don't look at Indiana as the basketball mecca of the NBA. Maybe the origins or whatever, but New York.
Let me see if I can get this right, and we'll tie this in a bow and get Derek Key on in the next segment here. From the text line, and no, Nate, I don't think this is exactly what you're saying, but I think he has a good point. What I hear Nate saying is that we will never be good, and it doesn't matter what GM you stick here because we're Sacramento. And I think he's close. I think he's close. And correct me if I'm wrong here. I think the overarching point, and I agree with you, is that in this city, at least right now, you have more things working against you than most other NBA cities.
And as a Kings fan, you have to realize that.
Yes, it's
exactly.
There's something that you're swimming
against the stream. I mean, whatever metaphors you want to use,
it's the Sacramento tax.
And so with that, it takes a little good fortune.
Yes,
that's all it is.
You have to catch a little lightning in a bottle.
About that. You just have to hope.
DMAC 104.3, The Fan. He hosts, or co-hosts, I should say, with Big Al, a show called The Drive. And this is a guy that knows the Denver Broncos inside and out. We enjoy, in air quotes, having him on throughout the football season. We did last year, and you'll hear from him this year whenever the Broncos and the Raiders are involved. We're dealing with the AFC West this week as camps begin to open up. Don't worry, we will have your Oakland Raiders on Friday as we finish out strong, and I'm sure a lot of very excited Raider fans out there eager to hear any Raider news they possibly can. But first and foremost, we will do the Broncos next. That's top of the hour on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.